In the studio now with an update on our flush index and wastewater surveillance, the director of the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District, Mike Lewis. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So let's start with the flush index, which basically just helps us determine how many people we got in town.
Right. So for the month of January, we estimated that there were 266,484 visitor nights for the month. That's about a 3.5% decrease from a year ago, January. So starting off the year with just a little bit down, but not too much.
Okay, interesting, though, with maybe just a smaller Sundance, too, huh?
Smaller Sundance, and even though we have, you know, pretty decent snow this year, it's not what we had last year.
Yeah. All right. And then you also measure the wastewater coming out for just COVID and flu and things like that?
So currently we monitor for the genetic material associated with COVID twice a week at both of our treatment facilities. And here in the Snyderville Basin area, at both sites, the levels still are elevated, meaning they're a little bit higher than what would you might expect. They're also elevated in the Jordanelle and Heber City area. Statewide, they're starting to come down, but this is something we've been doing since April 2020, and the CDC has informed us through the health department that we'll be continuing to do this for some time into the future.
Okay, and that's all we're measuring for at this point?
That's correct. The genetic material associated with the SARS-CoV-2 virus, or COVID, is all we are monitoring for, but we call this wastewater-based epidemiology and methodology for non-COVID targets is being perfected, and we anticipate working with the CDC on monitoring for influenza A, influenza B, RSV, and other things that may be of interest to the local health authorities. So wastewater-based epidemiology is here to stay, and we anticipate it to be expanded for all kinds of various things in the future.
Yeah, so is that information then sent to all of the county health departments?
Yeah, so across the state, there are, I believe, 30-some-odd wastewater treatment plants that monitor for COVID currently. All that information is sent to the state health department, and you can go online and they have a dashboard that shows the results for your particular area.
And what does it take? Just a test tube and just in a microscope, or how?
No, it's a little bit more than that. Actually, the procedure is just as if you were being tested yourself for COVID. So genetic material is collected, it's sequenced, goes through the laboratory procedure that would be used for yourself if you went into, say, a physician's office and were tested. So we actually use the identical same type of testing. Since it's coming from wastewater, there's a couple extra procedures to kind of clean it up to get an accurate reading.
All right. And they are accurate, huh?
Yes, they're accurate. Now, since we are monitoring wastewater, what we cannot do is say, hey, genetic material that we're seeing is on the elevated side of things, meaning it's a little bit higher than what we've seen. We can't say that is directly proportional to, say, you know, 800 people having COVID. It's not that precise, but certainly when we report that we're seeing elevated levels here across the Snyderville Basin area, Heber area, Jordanelle area, it's pretty clear that COVID is alive and well in our area.
Okay. So how is it that you provide that material?
Our staff collects it and delivers it to the state health department.
Mm, okay, and that's done weekly?
It's twice weekly.
Twice weekly. Yeah. All right. You also noted just that the flows, we mentioned this briefly about Sundance, though, you're seeing the wastewater flows reducing over time, huh?
Yeah, so pre-COVID, and I'm talking, say, 2016, 17, 18 time period, we had a pretty consistent flow during the Sundance period of time. Then the pandemic hit, and then, say, 21 was still down. 22 was about identical to 22. 23, we saw a little bit of a bump up, but for 24, we saw a reduction. Matter of fact, 24 was the lowest number we've seen all the way back through 2016. Overall, if you kind of average the numbers before, say, pandemic and post-pandemic, there's about a 25% reduction in wastewater flows.
And did we, or is that what we're seeing in visitation as
well? Well, visitation is not down 25%. Again, as we just reported for the, just this last month, we saw a 3.5%. Last year, we probably saw about a, I think it was, around 10% reduction, 15% reduction. So we are seeing a larger decrease in flows during Sundance than we are as a whole for the remainder portion of the year.
Okay, we're still talking about PFAS compounds. Tell us more about this. I mean, we know that they're not good for us, and at this point, I don't know that you can treat them, right?
Well, so let's take a step back here. We get a lot of questions about PFAS compounds, microplastics, pharmaceuticals, and in wastewater, all those things show up in the water that we receive and treat. The impact of these compounds is relatively new to science. What I mean by that is we are just now developing laboratory procedures to even monitor these compounds at very low levels. So when the question arises, hey, are these things harmful to us? It's really difficult to answer because there's thousands of different types of pharmaceuticals, different PFAS compounds, but you know, the laboratory work that has been done on lab animals, it clearly shows that some of these compounds are not good for us, but we're a long way from being able to say X, you know, amount of PFAS plastics or micro pharmaceuticals is bad for us. So there's a lot of science to be learned. We are involved in it pretty heavily because, again, we are seeing a whole cocktail of pharmaceuticals coming from all the various drugs that we all use in the area. Microplastics are coming from our synthetic ski clothing, and PFAS compounds are coming from everything from our drinking water to products that are being used. So we anticipate being required to remove pretty much all these items sometime in the future. EPA is just deciding just what level do we need to treat to. But to answer your question about treatment, we have conducted some bench and pilot studies, and we do, in fact, know how to remove all the all these compounds. Is it cheap? No, but we can remove them.
We can, yes. But we haven't implemented that.
Not yet. If we were to remove pharmaceuticals and the PFAS compounds, you know, it would probably add about $10 to the monthly wastewater bill currently. We are currently removing about 90%+ of the microplastics due to the fact that we have an advanced wastewater treatment facility. But to remove the pharmaceuticals and PFAS compounds, you know, that would take additional treatment technology added on to what we already have.
Hmm. And what do we know that that would do to any downwater source? I mean, fish,
well,
people?
Well, certainly we've conducted quite a bit of research over the years on the impact of, say, estrogens on the male trout in our local streams. And we know that some of these pharmaceuticals, especially the estrogens, can feminize the male fish. So, you know, it's important that we protect our local fish populations. I might add that there are currently no state or federal regulations for us to even monitor for these things, much less remove them and study the impact. So we're being pretty progressive here, but due to the fact that we discharge into these very small mountain streams with sensitive trout species, it's only a matter of time before we'll need to remove these compounds.
Hmm. Yeah, and again, eat the fish, and then you've just got more of the estrogen.
Right.
If
you know, the pharmaceuticals and the compounds end up in the fish, and then the eagles eat the fish, and then it's passed through the food chain. Plus, the water flows downstream to the next user, and I say user, I mean us humans. So the water's used over and over, and we're just passing these compounds downstream to others.
Okay, let's see. You've also got some rehab work happening on Homestead Road. We still call these manholes?
Right. So in the Jeremy Ranch area on Homestead Road, we'll be working this week on a series of manholes that we're rehabilitating, meaning that we're fixing the inside of them up. It'll impact traffic, but there should not be any need for detours. So just kind of keep an eye out for our workers, especially in the wintertime. We want to keep our folks safe and not have a car slide into our work site. So Homestead Road, we should be able to wrap that up this week.
Yeah, so what kind of work are we talking about? Because I know that when we redo roads, we see kind of a cement casing almost rebuilt, huh?
So these manholes are corroded. Inside the wastewater system, it's not unusual to have corrosive gases that actually form sulfuric acid, and that reacts to the concrete manholes and starts deteriorating them. So we put a synthetic liner on the inside of these manholes to stop that corrosion.
Hmm. Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
Just real quick, Leslie, I want to remind your listeners that, hey, one thing that you can do to help lower your water bill is to put a little food coloring in the tank of your commode. Do not flush it. Just let it sit there. And if that colored water appears in the bottom part of the commode, you have a leaky commode, because a lot of times commodes leak and you don't really hear it and you don't know it's happening. So a real quick little test that's really cheap to do is, again, put food coloring in the tank, let it sit there, and if the colored water appears in the bottom part, then you got a leaky commode.
Okay, the color is showing up in the bowl itself.
And, you know, you can, this is one of these things, you can generally go to Home Depot and buy a little kit to fix it yourself, or obviously call a plumber.
Okay, Mike, thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
Mike Lures is the Executive Director of the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW.